You're listening to Sarah Talk. It's political.
You could run a fucking pet Brock against Donald Trump, and I would vote for the pet Brock.
Yeah.
That's where we're at right now.
Yeah.
Critical.
Hang on. Let me change some words here. All right, ready?
Adults with religious confusion who truly believe in a higher power that created us and actually cares what we do with our penises and vaginas should be treated with care, compassion, and kindness, but must not be officially affirmed in their confusion, no matter how sincerely held. Fuck you.
And positively LGBT positive.
In many states, you can still be evicted from housing simply for being gay or transgender. Stand and fight with us.
Oh, and occasionally, completely absurd.
I don't know if you've ever seen the lightning bug, but he flies around with a flame, a light coming out of his behind. The lightning bug got a flame coming out of his butt.
It's a beautiful night tonight. All the sodomites are out.
And now, from Orlando, Florida, your host, Sarah Austin.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Sarah Talk.
Hi.
Hey. It is Saturday, January 27th.
How's party?
Seriously, doing this thing Saturday night thing is just still strange.
You know.
But at least now, instead of coffee,
I can have rum.
I can have rum. Thank you, Russell, who can't hear us.
Yeah, right.
Oh, do I want to have Coke with my rum? You're not.
I'm not having, no. Well, I'm having Coke and I'm having rum. I got the straw right in there. Yummy, yummy. All good. I have my drink and my chaser.
You're out of control.
Nah. It's Saturday night.
All right. So this week, this is episode 95. Can you believe that shit?
No, I cannot. We've got five episodes before
we're
100 years old.
Well, that's crazy. And we were going to do something special, but I think we've decided, like, nobody got time for that right now. And it's just an arbitrary number out of a base 10 system that really means nothing. What's 100? Why not 106? Like, why is 100 special?
I couldn't tell you that.
So.
I wasn't prepared for that question.
It's okay. Happy to join us in the chat this night are Dan and Russell so far.
We're both talking about food. Dan, bring me some burgers. And Russell, where's my blackened chicken? Come on.
Mm. This rum is so good, Russell. Not that you bought it, but the delivery boy. So next week, I'm not seeing anything. Next week, just to kind of give you a heads up of where we're headed here. I did an interview on Atheist Talk, the Minnesota radio program, a couple weeks ago. And that is available if you go to saratalk.com. I've linked it there. You can listen to it. I think I've got it so that it shows up in our feed, too. So if you're subscribed, which you should be on iTunes or Google Play or whatever, then it should have popped through. But we're going to return the favor. I interviewed with Maddie Love. Maddie Love is going to join us next week here on the show, Saturday night at 8 o'clock. So we'll learn kind of her story in both transition and her faith journey.
Very cool.
So that'll be good. And then I'm also, I believe the next weekend, we just confirmed, so this is still warm, Ethan Dodge and Ryan McKnight are the creators of Truth and Transparency. It's truthandtransparency.org if you want to go get a head start. They are the creators of Mormon Leaks, and they have now launched kind of a broader version of that, Faith Leaks, to expose the atrocities of the church, which is,
I'm
all for that. So we'll be talking to them on an upcoming show as well. That'll be really cool. I wanted to let y'all know we did finally convert our merchandise back to Cafe Press after a stint with T-Chip that I was unhappy with. I wasn't really pleased with them. So if you go to saratalk.com, you'll find the link to our merch. There are many, many more products than we were offering before in a couple of new designs. So we still have the Love Is Never Wrong design that Justin Benson did for us. And then taking a cue of Brandon Taylor's Are You Tired of Winning Yet? There is a Trump design. Are you winning? And then, and again, there's like tumblers and there's a flask and there's, I don't know why I'm, everything's alcohol related.
Because we do Saturday Night House Party now.
You can get t-shirts and coffee mugs and all that kind of stuff too. And then also the Republican Flat Jesus. So the Flat Jesus game that you can play at saratalk.com/Jesus. You can print out Flat Jesus. There's ours here if you're watching on the feed. Take him to all sorts of precarious situations and places and positions and just your pictures of him. And we'll put them up on the website. Maddie took some pictures of Flat Jesus that we put up on the website as well. And hashtag Flat Jesus when you share those. But anyway, so one of the four design options that you have when selecting your Flat Jesus is white Republican Flat Jesus. And he comes with all the accessories that you need. There's a USA t-shirt, an American flag. He's got a bald eagle on his shoulder and in what appears to be a deadly, deadly rifle. All the things you need for right-wing Republicanism. That's not what I meant to say.
No.
Right-wing conservative? I don't know what the hell I was going to say. Whatever. Okay.
Right-wingy bullshitism.
Well, I was religion. Yeah, same diff. Yeah. So this week, there a lot of the news that I have here is kind of Florida-centric, but stay with us because all of that stuff is definitely relevant to larger conversations and bills elsewhere.
Don't judge me.
And in the second half of the show, the second segment, I'm going to probably piss some people off and talk about pageants.
Not my beauty pageants.
Yes.
No.
So I would love it if you're out there and you're a pageant mom or you participated in pageants as a youth. I would love to hear from some of those people.
I got nothing for you, sorry.
But we're going to save that for the second half. And as always, we'd love to hear your opinions. Participate in the Facebook live chat. Call 224-40-SARAH, 224-407-2724. Get it all off your chest. If you're not listening live, you can leave a message at that number, and we might play that back on a future show. Don't call yet, because I don't have it forwarded.
Call me, don't
I'm
call me.
I'm so not prepared for that. And once I hook the phone in, I won't be able to watch the chat.
Well, you're fired.
Well, you have to watch the chat then.
I can watch the chat. I watch the chat anyway. So what's the problem?
Well, then you laugh. And then I'm like, what are you laughing at? Because I can't see it.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's because we have funny listeners and they make me laugh.
It is still forwarded, some bitch.
Oh, jeez.
All right. Well, that may have been some of those strange numbers that I...
All those numbers that were people trying to call into the show.
Oh, my God.
Oh, great.
224-407-2724. All right. This is our first story of the night. Ready?
I hope not. I mean, I hope so.
From the Florida Files.
Of course it is.
Of course it is. The Florida House Health and Human Services Committee approved a resolution 18-1 last week, which would declare pornography a public health risk that needs education, research, and policy changes to protect Floridians. What are we protecting people from?
I'm sorry. What porn are they watching? Is this like the virtual reality porn?
I don't know.
Are like...
Like the 360, like... Yeah.
It's... Giving them, I don't know. I mean, I don't get it.
These are the people that the porn is the devil.
Are they shooting alligator porn in the swamp?
Oh,
like,
my
what?
God.
I'm just trying to figure out how it could be hazardous to your health.
I don't want to think about alligator porn.
No, I don't either, but.
Republican Representative Ross Spano, who is also in the running for attorney general, keep that in mind,
of course he is,
sponsored the resolution, and he said, Research has found a correlation between pornography use and mental and physical illness, difficulty forming and maintaining intimate relationships, unhealthy brain development and cognitive function, and deviant, problematic, or dangerous sexual behavior. In fact, he initially wanted to label this a public health crisis, but changed it to risk instead to sort of broaden its appeal.
Wow. It's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if, like, 10 years from now, we're going to hear about all the improper sexual misconduct he's participated in.
Right. Like, every week there's another Republican doing bad things.
Man.
All right. He noted that children have access to such material at younger ages because of new technologies. Holding up his phone. It's not a phone. It's a prop. Holding up his phone, saying that children have access to pornography 24 hours a day. Listen, we have children and we monitor the activity.
Mm-hmm.
And when they reach an age of exploration, I'd actually prefer to, like, not be in the dark about it and pretend it's not happening.
Right.
Like, I want, as awkward as it could be, if you frame it right, it doesn't have to be. They're going to find, you know, shocking, degrading, disgusting content when they go online and type in, I want to see boobies. That's what they're going to find, choking and slapping and whipping and torture. And that's just on my external hard drive. But, like, this is that old avoidance is the best policy thing, right? Where dad sits awkwardly across the room and says, boy, do you know about the birds and the bees? And little Johnny says, yeah, dad. And dad says, good talk, son. And walks out. Like, that's what we're talking about here. That's what these people, that's how they handle this stuff.
Yeah.
Remember when you could just, like, stumble into your dad's box of porn
I don't.
Okay, maybe not you. Remember when you could just stumble the box of skin mags or VHS tapes on the floor of the closet under some wrinkled up shirts? Like, kids have been exposed to
in some way. Jesus and Christ. And if they can't get it on the internet, they're going to find it somewhere else.
Right.
So, like, child pornography? Absolutely.
Sure. Illegal
get
stuff.
Get rid of that. Right. If it's illegal, you shouldn't be. But consenting adults? What the hell?
Right. But there's something about, like, oh, if you're, say, 15 or 16-year-old, that's why I shut up.
Well, you know what? Every porn site I've ever seen asks you if you're of legal age.
Right.
So,
sure.
You know.
Right.
And then you can, anybody can fake a birthday because it's not like they scan your fingerprint and run it against the database of birth certificates. And so, you know, I mean, maybe there's a better way to monitor it, but it really, in my opinion, comes back to the parent.
Right. Sure.
I mean, you know, you can't have the government policing everybody.
So, I don't know. Maybe I'm an idealist here because I know that at that age, my kids will probably want nothing to do with me. The last person they're going to want to go to for, like,
true.
I'm starting to be interested in sexy time things. The last person is going to be me. But we want to have our kids in a, like, a sex positive environment. I don't want to, like, fire and brimstone them into fear and
shame about even wondering. Like,
and if for no other reason, to save them from a lot of the shit that we went through, like, just trial and error trying to figure it out. And these Republicans, right, aren't these the people who are always talking about how all of society's problems start in the home, that parents are to blame for everything?
I'm pretty sure they're the same ones, actually.
Pretty sure they're the same ones. So why aren't they on the... Oh, my God. public health risk.
Unreal.
Anyway, in a theme you might hear repeated throughout the show tonight, the one lone no vote came from an unexpected place. Republican Representative Carrie Pigman, who is a medical doctor. Pigman listed off a number of actual medical problems like hypertension, obesity, and diabetes, saying, I'm not so sure we should spend legislative time enunciating a specific complaint when we have others that are far more pressing. Well done. Well done.
Wow.
Right? Aren't there bigger things to worry about?
Well, like, you know, is this a deflection? Like, oh, they're coming for our guns. Hold on.
Yeah, right?
No. Let's try to take their porn. Like, what is this? Certainly not eye for an eye there, but I don't know.
All right. Well, if you're interested in wasting legislative time.
No, not really, but okay. You're going to go there.
A Florida State House subcommittee this week unanimously voted to advance House Bill 839, which would require the posting of the words "In God We Trust" in a, quote, conspicuous place at all public schools.
No.
Right? I wrote to our representative. The minute I saw this, I wrote to our representative who sits on the House subcommittee. And I said, I am ashamed of you. Of all the fucking things that we have to be working on in government, right? Take away porn is a waste of time. But honestly, putting "In God We Trust" in the schools.
When more and more people are not raising their children
right
under the umbrella of God. Is that their, you know, well, we got to get.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's,
next
it's
thing the, you know, we're going to be praying. And
it's the last gasps of a dying breed.
Just die already.
Speaking of that, Representative Kimberly Davis, Daniels, sorry.
Oh, I was
Kimberly
like, whoa, Daniels. Wait a minute.
Kim Davis again. No, that's Freudian slip.
There you go.
Representative Kimberly Daniels, a Duval County Democrat. Democrat.
Great.
What's is sponsoring this bill.
Shush.
Last year, Daniels led the Religious Expression in Public Schools legislation, which Governor Skeletor signed into law. Daniels is a pastor and founder of the Kimberly Daniels Ministries International, which likely doesn't pay taxes.
Probably not.
Anyway.
Wonder how big her house is.
Right. She said the phrase "In God We Trust" is, quote, inscribed on the wall of this great capital. It should be displayed so our children will be exposed and educated on this great motto, which is part of this country's foundation.
That is such bullshit.
Now, we have planted our flag on this issue a long time ago. The motto of the United States was E Pluribus Unum, out of many one. Then during the 1950s Red Scare shit our pants era, we changed it specifically to separate ourselves from the godless communists. Here in Florida, though, the phrase first appeared on the Florida's flag as part of the state seal way back in 1868. So this thing's been banging around for a while, but it wasn't adopted as the official state motto until 2006. If you, like we, think that our original motto is more inclusive of the country we want this to be and our state, head to originalmotto.us and see how you can help advance that movement. I'm working on getting someone from that group on the show to talk about their project as well. But they're seeking to change back the national motto back to E Pluribus Unum.
Well, yeah. Why not? I don't understand.
It's more like, representative of what we are as a
right,
nation.
The roots are there, not... So stupid.
Now, the subcommittee that moved this forward. Any guesses what this subcommittee is called? The Pre-K through 12 Innovation Committee. It's no wonder our schools have problems. If this is what our lawmakers are spending their time on.
I'm going to innovate some very interesting words to the committee to tell them how I feel about this. Next, it goes
to the House Education Committee. And an identical Senate version has yet to be heard. And remember, this is like real super early in the legislative process, but it shines a light on the way that evangelicals feel empowered to force their religion upon the state. When you listen to the rhetoric around this bill, it's clearly about religious privilege and not about the state motto and history or whatever. Absurdly, both sides of the aisle. And remember, this was filed by a Democrat preacher, right? Who are we electing, Florida?
Well, Florida has a really bad...
It definitely does.
...track record anyway.
Somebody needs to go back and recount the hanging chads. Democrat Representative Larry Lee said the nation was built on God and the bill is a great idea at a time when many young people aren't going to church, adding, we're taking God out of everything.
No.
Again, separation of church and state, please.
The nation was not built on God.
Right.
Where are they getting their information from?
They're rewriting history.
Which is total bullshit.
It is your right in this country to not go to church. We came here to escape theocracy. Remember? Have we all forgotten that?
If you want theocracy, go back to the motherland. They'd be more than willing to indoctrinate your children and... ruin your lives.
And even they are becoming more and more
they're very
secular.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. You need a napkin over there?
I'm dripping.
That's what she said.
So that was a Democrat.
Yeah.
In favor of this thing, right?
I can't even speak to that. I don't understand how that happens.
And of course, big surprise, a Republican, Representative Ralph Masullo, said students should know about the state's history, and as part of that history, we do trust in God. And part of my letter to the Honorable Representative Sam Killebrew was, no, sir, we do not. And if you advance this thing... you are preferencing some of your constituents over others.
Mm-hmm.
Period. It's garbage. Don't worry. Florida's not alone.
Of course we're not. At least we're stupid with company.
A Democrat legislator from Mississippi deserves our attention this week. Again, Democrat Credell Calhoun authored House Bill 1100, which would, quoting from the bill as filed here, amend Section 27138, Mississippi Code of 1972, to require a brief period of quiet reflection in public school classrooms at the start of each school day. Amend Section 73-13-163, Mississippi Code of 1972, to require the Ten Commandments to be displayed in each public school classroom.
Oh, fuck no.
And to require teachers to, you think that's bad, to require teachers to have the Ten Commandments recited aloud at the beginning of each school day.
No fucking no. No.
Mississippi. So let's read the text of this thing and break it down, right? Section 1. In each public school classroom, the local school governing board shall require a brief period of quiet reflection for not more than 60 seconds at the opening of school upon every school day. 2. The moment of quiet reflection required by subsection 1 of this section is not intended to be and shall not be conducted as a religious service or exercise, but is considered an opportunity for a moment of silent reflection.
On what?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all right. Section 2, subsection 1. Any teacher, administrator, school council, or local school board in any public school district in this state may post in a public school building, classroom, or at any school event, or read from any historical document or writing relating to the founding of the United States of America or this state, or both, notwithstanding the fact that such materials may include religious quotation, references, or illustrations. There shall be no content-based censorship of American or Mississippi history, heritage, or culture based on any religious references contained in such documents, writings, or records. So again, if you can twist it around to be like, well, our state was founded on God, then you can hang up whatever the fuck you want and call it historical. Subsection 2. Principals and teachers in each public elementary and secondary school of each school district in this state shall display on an appropriately framed background with minimum dimensions of 11 inches by 14 inches, the Ten Commandments in each classroom and the following motto of the United States of America in each classroom, school auditorium, and school cafeteria under his or her supervision, In God We Trust. For the purposes of this provision, classroom shall mean any room of a public school where instruction takes place. Section 3. The school board of each school district shall require the teachers in that school district to have the Ten Commandments recited aloud, which is fucking blows my mind, recited aloud at the beginning of the first hour of class each day that school is in session. Any student or teacher who objects to reciting the Ten Commandments must be excused from participating without penalty. But here again, this is that religious privilege. This is not religious freedom. You're forcing everyone to read the Christian words. Opting out doesn't count. You don't get to play that because the exercise is unconstitutional in the first fucking place.
Right.
And you have experience in being told to opt out anyway. And if you want to go down that rabbit hole.
Well, it's not. It's not good for the kids.
Right.
Because you, if you're the only one that says, no, I don't want to do that for whatever reason, you're going to get picked on. You're going to get singled out. You're going
to. Right. You're compelled to participate.
Right.
It may not be overtly.
Right.
Right. But there's consequence to being the one kid that says, I can't do that. I don't want to do that.
I just don't. This makes me angry.
Yep. Section 4.
There's more.
Section 4 says that if they pass this, it becomes effective July 1st, 2018. But it's currently in the Education Committee, which is hopefully where it'll die.
Yeah, right.
Now, in case you're interested, and especially if you're from Mississippi, I don't know if we have anybody from Mississippi.
I don't know.
Credell Calhoun is the Democratic representative for District 68. And his profile on the State House website notes that he is of the Missionary Baptist faith. Well, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
He currently sits on the following committees. Education. Insurance. Military Affairs. Universities and Colleges. And Ways and Means. If you'd like to give him a call and let him know how you feel about separation of church and state, especially with regards to public education, we'll have his phone number and email address linked in the show notes. And you are welcome to shoot him a message and let him know that this is garbage. But let this serve as a reminder, especially for those of you, if you're not like hyper engaged in politics, and I haven't always been. Right. Again, when I was like, you know, in my 20s, I was so checked out. Politics was the last thing on my mind. And I worked at a radio station where we talked about politics all day long. But here's the thing. If you're one of these people that goes into the booth and clicks all blue or all red, stop it.
Mm-hmm.
Because we've just highlighted some great examples about how not every Democrat or Republican may have your interests just by a party affiliation.
Right.
Right. Now, it may turn out that whoever this guy ran against was like complete garbage, and this guy was just like not so bad garbage. That's possible. I don't know, right? But you gotta like study up on these people when you go into the into the polling booth, and all the way down. Like city councils have an effect too. Like, pay attention to what's going on. Know what's happening in your state, in your community,
or you'll be the next Mississippi.
Oh, Jesus Christ! Oh. I'm not drinking fast enough. Mm. We're not conversing enough for me to drink. I'm reading. I'm sorry. I'm ranting too much. This story. Oh, it's our old friend Tony Perkins.
Oh, fuck. What's Tony up to?
Tony Perkins, one of our favorite anti-LGBT Christian leaders and president of the misleadingly named Family Research Council, appeared on Politico's office message. I don't know what it's called. I think I wrote it down wrong.
Wow. Okay.
No, I wasn't drinking when I wrote it.
Okay. Whatever you say.
Whatever. He appeared on a Politico podcast and made some comments, which the media has gone crazy with, particularly CNN. Dun, dun, dun. CNN. Nobody likes CNN. On the podcast, they were discussing recent news about, speaking of porn, about porn star Stormy Daniels, who Donald Trump reportedly had an affair with shortly after Melania gave birth to their son, Barron, and then paid off Daniels to keep quiet in the last few weeks running up to the 2016 election. Perkins, with full knowledge of this and all of the other outrageously unchrist-like behaviors Trump is famous for, said, quote, "We kind of gave him... All right, you get a mulligan. You get a do-over." End quote. He said evangelical Christians, quote, "were tired of being kicked around by Barack Obama and his leftists. And I think they are finally glad that there's somebody on the playground that is willing to punch the bully." End quote.
Whoa. Yeah. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
No. If that were the case, wouldn't Donald Trump have a black eye instead of an orange face if somebody was going to punch the bully?
Well, here's the thing. Do we need to define bully?
Right. Apparently.
Because evangelical Christianity is certainly the bully.
Mm-hmm.
I get in an argument with Twitter today.
With Twitter? The actual, just
yes,
like Twitter?
Yes, with some asshole on Twitter. I responded to some Ken Ham tweet. And
why would you do that?
Because it's fun. Until it gets not fun, which is what happened. So I was arguing with this guy, and anyway, it was about bullying and how the LGBTQ community is like it's the persecution complex, right? Like you feel like I'm coming after you because you're a Christian. No, I'm coming after you because you've been an asshole to us for so long, and we're tired of it.
Right.
And I said you shouldn't be surprised if you bully somebody long enough, that the bully turns around and stalks you in the face. Not in those words. But basically, like, you shouldn't be surprised that people are coming after and calling out religious indiscretions.
Especially with as blatant as they've gotten with things.
But it's like arguing with the wall. So.
Yeah, of course.
All right, so in this podcast, when the host asks, "What happened to turning the other cheek?" Perkins responds, "You know, you only have two cheeks. Look, Christianity is not all about being a welcome mat which people can just stomp their feet on." Now let's go down a side street for a quick detour here. Friend of the show, Britton Vanderbush, recently shared a John Pavlovitz. I know, right? Shared this article entitled "White Evangelicals, This Is Why People Are Through With You." And I'll link that in the show notes too. Let me put a star next to that so I remember to do it. Which basically highlights the reality that for many non-white, non-evangelical people, you're a big bunch of fucking jerks. You support all this crazy nonsense that seems antithetical to Jesus' actual teachings for those of us looking from the outside in. It didn't take long for someone to comment back, quote, "You do realize that this doesn't apply to all Christian churches, right? I go to a very large, some would say mega, church, and the head pastor met with Obama on multiple occasions and prayed at the Easter prayer breakfast. He regularly prayed for Obama and spoke positively of him in services." This is Passion City Church in Atlanta, I guess. About that.
Go on.
Well, you don't even have to take my word for it. Pavlovitz himself responded on Twitter to similar criticisms, saying, "Don't say not even all evangelicals support Trump. 81% voted for him and still support him. If you're part of the 19%, you need to be louder."
Mm-hmm.
And that sentiment echoes same argument that I had to this guy on Twitter today. If you are, that's not my church. If that's who you are, you're not loud enough.
Mm-hmm.
You're not loud enough to drown out the Tony Perkins and the quote faith leaders that have a national stage.
Mm-hmm.
They have the bigger bullhorn. And you gotta, if you want your Christianity to survive.
Yeah.
Free tip, because I don't. Like, it could go away today and we'd all be better. But that, if you want your faith system to survive, then you have to stand up and say, no, that's not what we're about.
Right.
And look, if that means that you have to evolve, you've done it before.
But Christians don't believe Christians in evolution.
Christians have evolved their faith many, many times. Okay, back to Tony Perkins. So he goes on his show, Washington Watch, to further explain the comments that he made during Politico's, it is called Office Message podcast. And he's been hung out to dry on CNN for. Okay. So this is Tony Perkins on Washington Watch.
I was on CNN with Aaron Burnett addressing this issue, and I would encourage you to go on and watch it. I think it was a fair exchange. But here's the point. A lot of the media has picked up a statement I made that the president, that evangelicals have given the president a mulligan. Not on this issue. Adultery is a serious issue, no matter who does it or where it's done.
So you're giving him a pass on all the other bad shit, this stupid stuff that he's done. Grab him by the pussy and all that, but if you actually do go out and grab her by the pussy, well, then now we're not right. Going to give you a pass on that.
My point is, all of these things that we were concerned about with the president we were aware of before the election. Most of us were not supporting him.
Oh,
all of these things that we've all been concerned about with the president, you knew before the election,
and yet you backed him. Anyway,
what is
you
that
piece of
you?
Scum? That's yep. What it tells me.
And he's speaking for like all of the old guys, the right. Pat Robertsons, yeah. And the way they all got on the conference call and were like, uh-huh. All right, well, what are we going to do?
The white American mafia.
And most of us were not supporting him until it came down to a choice between him and Hillary Clinton.
Ah, so they weren't supporting him, he says, until then it became about Republican and Democrat. Listen to this, that the excusals that he draws out here. Like, we can give all of this room as long as you do the things we want you to do. Listen.
And then he said, look, give me a chance. I'm going to appoint pro-life justices. He wrapped himself in the most conservative party, values-oriented platform in history of the party, and he chose Mike Pence as his running mate, and he has surrounded himself with evangelicals and pledged to do differently. And from that standpoint, I said evangelicals understand change. They understand grace and the chance to do over. So folks, as I said last night, our support is not unconditional, the president.
Our support is conditional that he votes, like, put another Supreme Court nominee right. In that will overturn Roe v. Wade and Obergefell. And then you can do whatever the fuck you want. As long as you do these things that we want you to do, you can hire as many hookers as you need. You can cheat on your wife. You can cheat on your wife with your daughter or whatever it is he's into.
Oh.
Right. Then it's okay.
Oh, my God.
Let me run out the last 30 seconds of this.
But as long as he continues to be the most pro-life, pro-family president in terms of his policies and continues to walk the straight and narrow with the right influence, I don't care what they say. We're going to continue to support this administration. So before you listen to the headlines, go look at that interview. And by the way, get my update as well. We talk about these things. That way you'll be equipped to address the critics as well.
I'm missing so many comments in the feed.
There's
You're
not
catching
been
me
much.
Up.
There's well, there was a bunch of stuff that it didn't. What is the latest? Mine isn't updating, so I don't know.
Oh, well, Russell was cleaning out Dad's closet.
Oh, yeah, I saw that, but I didn't see that until 10 minutes after we had talked about that stuff, so.
Okay.
My phone's being really weird. The latest one I have is about the email from Marco.
Yeah, okay. That's right.
Yeah.
Hey, I got emails from Marco Rubio to do. Krubio? Is that what you called him? That's fun.
Krubio.
It may be one that I already have. I don't know. I get so many emails from the right.
Yeah, but you get the best emails.
The best
from...
emails. Like, I don't understand.
Our commander in Peach.
Like, which one of you signed me up for these emails? Bastards.
Impeach.
I get it.
Impeach. Impeach. He's orange like a peach.
I get it.
Okay.
Okay.
It was really funny and nobody laughed.
We're going to take a quick break. Real quick, like 2 minutes. And when we come back, we're going to talk about pageants. And I have a personal connection to pageants that some people may not know about. And if the people back home are listening, it was back home pageants.
Ooh.
So I will tell you all about that. But I'd love to hear what people think. Chat us up in the... Facebook group, Facebook chat. You can call 224-407-2724. Let us know what you think. Overall, like, we're going to talk about some specifics, but overall, feminists, do you think that the positive spin that's put on pageants is a legit thing? Are they harmful to women, to young women? Are they useful in teaching leadership and public speaking? That kind of stuff. We'll do all that right after this.
Today we decided to walk to school. The light counted. 15, 14, 41,
31, I mean 13.
We took a left on Carroll Street. Danny's smart, but he gets distracted.
I realized
he forgot his homework.
I hope he doesn't have another bad day at school.
When you can see learning and attention issues from their side, you can be on their side. That's why there's Understood.org, a free resource for the parents of the 1 in 5 kids with learning and attention issues. Go from misunderstanding to Understood.org. Brought to you by Understood and the Ad Council.
In today's health-conscious society, you have many beverage choices. But do you know what's in all of them? So much sugar, sodium, and things you can't even pronounce. Dihydrogen monoxide. What's that? Sometimes you wish you just had a simple, more elegant solution for your beverage needs. Introducing H2O, the first ever chemical-free thirst quencher. H2O is simple, simply composed of 3 portions of 2 elements, hydrogen and oxygen. H2O means chemical-free, unlike water, which is filled with all sorts of shit. When we tested H2O, we found traces of no other elements. So pure, the bottle may as well be fucking empty. With all the same nutritional content as a breath of cool mountain air. First widely featured on Goop.com, actress Gwyneth Paltrow revealed that she exclusively uses H2O for her vaginal steaming process. After all, why use water when you can steam it with H2O? So now we invite you to run out to your local garden hose and drink that shit. Remember, it's not water, it's H2O.
H2O bottled by Flint Bottling Company in Flint, Michigan. Product not actually endorsed by Goop or Gwyneth Paltrow. Please do not use H2O for vaginal steaming, or better yet, please do not steam your vagina. H2O is actually just water. Water is a set of molecular compounds. It's a chemical. Everything is a chemical.
I was feeling so alone.
I'm glad I asked for help.
Whatever it is, ask for help.
If you're thinking about suicide or need support, call the Trevor Lifeline at 1-866-488-7386.
Want to join the conversation or tell Sarah she's wrong? Email producer at saratalk.com or call 224-40-SARAH. That's 224-407-2724. Now, more Saratalk.
I hate Facebook.
I hate Facebook.
So if we're not acknowledging your comments, there's a really good reason for it. We're right. not seeing them all.
I would pull up the Facebook. You know, I can probably hang on. I can do that here and then mute the tab. So because if it makes noise, it'll come through the show. And I don't want it to do that. So let me see if I can mute it. Because we were missing some really good comments, and I want to make sure that we're acknowledging those. Go ahead. Kill some time, will you?
No, now I'm reading the messages Dan sent so I can see what I missed in the chat.
This is riveting radio.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, let me go to the comments.
Yeah, the rum, I'm just...
Go ahead. You're going to comment on that?
Being a troublemaker. Yeah, rum from a straw, rum and coke. No. I should actually probably spill the beans on the rum.
You should.
So I thought we had this bottle of rum and we emptied it, drank it all. And I thought, wouldn't it be funny if I could figure out the formula to turn water into rum? Because, you know, I want to be just like Jesus. So I did that.
You're out of control.
I know. So I poured water in it, and then I put in some food coloring. Just a whim. I didn't look up what to mix. I just was like playing around. And 4 drops later, it looked like rum. And so I thought, wouldn't it be funny if I just sat in the studio and drank water out of the rum bottle that looked like rum? So this is my water bottle for the evening. I'm actually completely sober. I haven't had any alcohol.
I, however, have need to fill my glass back up. I don't know. I've got it on the computer now, and I still don't see all the comments. So we'll figure it out. One of these days, maybe we'll have like our own platform.
Is there like a settings in?
I don't know. We're not going to go through this on the air.
Yeah, I know. All right,
so let's talk about pageants. And okay. Depending on who's going to listen to this, we may get some emails. This might be a controversial topic.
Oh, no.
Not that we know anything about that. So Pink News reported last week that Galaxy Pageants UK had received a wave of criticism after people noticed the following requirement in its terms and conditions. Entrant must be a naturally born genetic female. Now, the problem with this is that in the UK, the 2004 Gender Recognition Act says that any trans woman who holds a gender recognition certificate, which is probably a nightmare to obtain anyway, but which fully acknowledges the holder as legally female, and her original birth certificate is amended to female, any trans woman with this certificate under the 2004 Act is not legally obligated to divulge that she was assigned male at birth. Okay. Pink News said they reached out for comment later that same day. The policy was changed. Other requirements for the entrance. Delegates must speak English. Have 25% of the heritage of the country they compete in. And this one's really weird. The website states that unlike most other pageants, women can be mothers and or married. But then in the terms and conditions, it says that any competitor must not have ever had a child.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Side note, go ahead and make some comments because I think I figured something out. So type me some messages in the comment field and see if I fixed it.
What'd you figure out? Did you find the little switch for the top comments?
No, there's a... If you see the little comment with the X on my phone on the top corner?
Yeah.
When I touch that, it says quiet mode on or quiet mode off.
Oh, that's interesting.
So I don't know if that... I don't know.
All right. Galaxy Pageants UK runs the Mrs. Galaxy, Miss Galaxy, and Ms. Galaxy, Miss Teen Galaxy, and Junior Miss Galaxy competitions. and are further connected to the Galaxy International pageant, in which the winners of the UK competitions are flown here to Orlando, Florida, to compete in the international competition.
Yeah, Dan, I can see you now. All right.
So, let's talk about pageants. 224-40-SARAH, 224-407-2724. Did you participate in pageants? Did you put your kids in pageants? In a former life, I was the local sound guy extraordinaire, and I ran lighting and sound for a lot of things, but a few of them were pageants back in Cornfield, Illinois. And I got a little drawn into the theatrical part of beauty pageants, the staging, the choreography, the timing. It's a show, but I have some concerns. Have you had any involvement in any kind of pageants at all?
Is there
anybody in your family
right
that's done pageantry?
The closest thing that I've ever been, like, the most I know about pageants comes from my knowledge of the movie Miss Congeniality.
Oh, jeez.
So, no, I can't, I don't know. Russell, correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think we have any family that's done pageants. Okay. I mean, we competed in other things like singing competitions and trivia, normal things, but not
normal,
you know.
Okay, so I've heard a lot of pageant apologetics, we'll call them. You're teaching young women confidence, public speaking skills, discipline, ambition. But aren't we also teaching them that there's a barrier to entry called attractiveness?
Right.
And if Donald Trump doesn't give you a 7 or higher, you just don't fit in here.
Right.
I don't buy into this argument that it isn't about looks. If it weren't, they still wouldn't be referred to as beauty pageants, right? Like,
right.
That's what we call them.
Judging somebody based on their... Yeah.
And sure... Okay, so you probably have to rock a skirted suit and talk about things that inspire or motivate you, right? But then you race off to change into your swimwear and then maybe an evening gown so that a panel can literally judge you like a piece of meat on your appearance. It's what they do. And then there's always a winner. And in a lot of these small towns like I was part of where everyone like knows everybody else, I always wondered... Like, is it hard to get judges that are impartial and don't, like, know people and have favorites? Because back home, like, it didn't matter what it was. If it was, like, basketball or, like, anything you did, if you had a name that was the family name in the town,
right.
Like, you went places.
Yeah.
Even in podunk shithole Illinois.
Well, yeah. Right? There's winners everywhere.
So... Does it become like a name recognition or a popularity thing?
Dan says, I have no experience with pageants in any form. However, I'm sure I'll have opinions.
Yeah, me too.
Right.
I mean, all I ever did was run sound and I sang it a couple. Like I did mid-show entertainment for
like,
for
I just, one. I worry about like, I mean, you see this. The little kids on TLC and they're grooming them for this lifestyle of you have to look perfect, your hair and makeup always have to be on point, and they're teaching them this. I don't even know how to describe it. Like it's just the culture of being a beauty pageant person, and I just think that's scary to think about. Putting somebody in that so young, a tender age.
Right. Well, and then again, so you have a winner.
Yeah.
And several losers.
Right. And then
are
having
you
to deal with
preparing
that.
These
and,
kids? That,
right.
Right. Are you just like, no, you're going to win. And that, anyway, I'll get to that in a minute. So tell me I'm wrong. 224-40-SARAH, 224-407-2724. But I think pageants do more harm than good. You could put pageants and religion up on a shelf together, never touch them again.
Yeah. And selfie sticks.
And selfie sticks. Okay. So in addition to that sort of beauty normativity culture that you were talking about. Then there's pageant moms.
Oh, God.
Do you know any pageant moms?
No.
Some of these people are living so vicariously through their kids. And that's with any activity, right? Like, same thing. If you're forcing your kid to do stuff that you never got to do, or that was stuff like that you liked without any regard for what your kid wants, right? So I'll give you another example, right? The dads that are like, I played football in high school, son, so mm-hmm. you have to follow in my footsteps, and you're going to play football too.
I do know somebody that like that, that was very with his son, like, mm-hmm. and then the son got hurt and lost his scholarship, and the dad, he said, you're never going to play again, and dad was like, no, you're going to get a second opinion, and the kid was like, no, dad, I'm done.
Yeah.
And the kid did fine. Now he's a football coach at a high school. Sure. He's fine, you know? He found a way to stay into something he was passionate about. But
right. But these parents
are just like,
right. It's not your life to live. Right. Like, and I get it. Trust me, I get it. I look at my children now, 7 and 2, and I it's hard for me to let go. Uh-huh. I have trouble with that too. But anyway, pageant moms, right? Ugh.
They're worse than cheer moms.
Well,
and I've dealt with a lot of cheer moms.
Worse than cheer moms and worse than like mother-in-law wedding Zilla mom.
Oh, God.
And that's pretty damn bad.
I never had to deal with that.
I didn't either. I've seen it on TV.
Jane Fonda and Jennifer Lopez.
God.
Monster-in-law.
So
is that what it was called?
Yeah, monster-in-law. That was actually really good. All right, so where are we at here? Let's move. Yeah, it's time. Let's get out of this. keep the conversation going, though. Facebook.com/Sarah Talk Radio. Get into our group. You can get to that link at saratalk.com. 224-40-SARAH. We might play, if you have, leave us a message, we might play it on a later show. Come back to this topic. Because I'm really hoping to piss some people off. That's, you know.
That's all you ever want out of
right,
life.
Every week I sit down in front of the microphone and I think, who can I piss off this week? Jinx. Okay.
You owe me a Coke. I'll take it.
No. You're drinking it straight, I thought.
No, I just admitted this was water.
Okay. The Missouri State Supreme... Speaking of garbage states, the Missouri State Supreme Court...
Missouri?
Agreed to hear a case brought against the state's anti-abortion laws. This is interesting. State law requires women to wait 72 hours before an abortion.
72 hours
before they'll perform it. Right. So you come into the doctor's office and say, I want an abortion.
Oh,
take the fetus out. And they go, okay, here's some literature about life beginning at conception and Jesus. And come back in 3 days. Exactly. Exactly. Here's your return time. I assume so that you have time to pray about it or something. Anyway.
Who knows?
Forcing doctors to give women ultrasounds of the fetus and an opportunity to hear the fetal heartbeat.
I hate these bills because it's like, you know.
This is law. Passed. Bill written, signed, passed. This is the law. Okay.
Why? I mean,
And yes, offering them literature declaring that life begins at conception. But there's a hero in this story.
Okay.
An unnamed woman in the case. Traveled from southeastern Missouri to St. Louis for an abortion at a Planned Parenthood clinic in 2015 and did eventually obtain an abortion. But in court documents, she argues that some of the state's restrictions on abortion conflict with her beliefs.
Okay.
As a member of the Satanic Temple.
Oh my God.
Why
do you do this to me?
To follow scientific understanding of the world. I love them. They're always right where they fucking need to be. The state is arguing that their religious freedom laws wouldn't apply because she wasn't being forced to do something against her beliefs or being prevented from practicing her beliefs. They say the pamphlet, for example, must be given to all women, but they aren't forced to read it, which is just bullshit. Like... Here's a baggie full of literature. Come back in 3 days. What do you really? Apparently, during oral arguments, though, the state did acknowledge that the ultrasounds are voluntary and not mandatory, which initially read as like you, this is a requirement that you, right? you sit this poor girl down who's about to make the biggest mistake of her life, and you show her her baby, which is a fetus, not a baby, and you show you, you make her listen to the baby's heartbeat so that she'll have second thoughts about the whole thing. And then, here's your literature, go home and pray to Jesus.
I don't know. I mean, I think, yes, it's a good idea to make somebody wait. That's a big decision.
Uh-huh.
72 hours, I can get behind that.
Should be the government? Making that requirement?
I don't know. I mean, who? I don't know. Because if it's the doctor, then it's up to the doctor. If it's the facility, it's up to the facility. But then you're all, that's just going to be like, okay, well, it's a, and then you can just go anywhere. I mean, you could go, you know, get a drive-through abortion. They have drive-through chapels. Why can't you get a drive-through abortion? I don't know. I just feel like in some cases you're going to know that I want this done, and right, and no amount of time is going to, but at the same time, I don't know. I think if you know that you're going to want it done, 72 hours isn't going to change your mind.
Right?
But if you're on the fence and you're unsure, and for whatever reason it is, then, so I don't know. I don't know that it, I don't know. How do you manage that? Because if it's not a law, then it's just at the doctor's discretion.
Well, and if it's, right, but if it's a personal decision.
Well, I don't think that there should be a law telling you you can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that unless it's critical to, like, you have however many days, and that's waiting, that 72 hours is going to take you past that marker where you can actually do it, then that would be a different story. But you find out you're pregnant. Most women find out, like, at when they're 8 weeks. That's normal. Mm-hmm. You have plenty of time. 72 hours isn't going to.
Okay.
I don't know.
If you'd like to argue with Becca and tell her she's wrong, 224-40-SARAH.
Come for me. I don't know how it's supposed to look legislatively.
Right.
If it's the government or if it's the person performing the procedure.
Right. Well, then, so that's the other thing, right? Like, if you go to the provider level, then you have, I went to 7 providers and nobody would fucking do it for me.
Right.
You know. Okay. Dan says, I would take the pamphlets and drop them in the trash in front of the person who handed them to me. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, that satisfies the state requirement. All they're required to do is hand it to you.
Right.
And say, here's some information. Like, all they have to do is give it to you.
And
it's not like you have to, like, okay, I'm going to sit here while you read this pamphlet.
Right. Well, and, like, I don't know. I'm glad I've never had to go have an abortion, but how does that even work? Like, do you just go in and say, I want an abortion, and then you wait until somebody's available?
You make an appointment.
Because I would think 72 hours is a reasonable waiting time for an appointment. So
that's fair.
I mean.
Personal story. Once upon a time, I was 17 years old. Got a girl pregnant. And at the time, my young foolish mind had been, you know, trained up in religion to think that this was a baby and that abortion is terrible and wrong and should never be done under any circumstance, and that we were going to raise this kid and everything was going to be just fine. that's what I was raised with, right? So there's a lot of side stories to this, but the long story short is her parents took her to St. Louis and got an abortion. There you go. I don't know any of the details. I wasn't involved. I wasn't allowed to be involved. Meh, I don't know. But then I think, like, had that happened.
Oh, God.
Like, had we not done that, how different my life would be.
You think you feel old now.
Right. So anyway, it'll be several weeks before we have a ruling. But this is up to the state Supreme Court level now. So it'll be interesting to watch. Okay, the next segment, your favorite segment.
Oh, yay.
Yeah, the best stories start with...
Florida Man.
Not what? This week.
Oh, man.
Not this week. A Tennessee man.
I was so confident.
Chad England, 33, was...
Wait, a Tennessee man named Chad England?
Yes.
This will be interesting. Go on. England.
Okay.
It's a place, too.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
But
it's not... It's like... It's
a proper name for a Tennessee hillbilly, so... Go on.
There was a guy who did radio back when I was a kid, back in Decatur, Illinois. And his name was Grizz England. And he ended up running for office. And he was a family friend. Nice guy. Mm. Good old boy. Anyway, Chad England, 33, was arrested while traveling on I-81 North after flipping his truck 5 times because, in his own words, quote, Jesus was calling him and advised him to let go of the wheel, end quote.
Oh, my.
Jesus take the wheel indeed.
So many levels of wrong with this. Was Carrie Underwood contacted for comment, first of all? I mean, first question. Secondly, what on earth did he do to piss Jesus off so much that Jesus would flip his truck 5 times?
He had a conversation with the guy. He was like, look, dude, you can drive now. Flip, 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 crash.
Did they find any narcotics or alcohol in the vehicle?
Funny you should ask.
Oh, I knew it was going somewhere.
According to the incident report, the driver had gotten out of the vehicle and began to run away, carrying a jar.
Oh, Jesus.
And speaking gibberish.
Okay.
Deputies secured him in a patrol car and searched his vehicle, where they found 6 grams of marijuana, 0.6 grams of cocaine, a pipe, rolling papers, a 3/4 empty bottle of Crown Royal, a small empty bottle of Crown Royal, and several cans used for huffing.
Oh, holy shit.
Jesus.
Was he like ascending with Jesus? That's how high he was.
Yeah. He stated that he was not driving, because Jesus was.
Oh, fuck.
Even though he was behind the wheel, England was arrested and charged with a first offense DUI.
Oh.
Felony possession of Schedule 2 for resale.
Mm-hmm.
Possession of Schedule 6. Possession of paraphernalia. Failure to exercise due care. Violation of implied consent. No driver's license in possession. No registration in possession. And the hat trick, no insurance in possession.
Oh, my Jesus.
Competing against Florida this week.
Wow.
A Tennessee man.
That is some... What part of Tennessee was this? I have family in Tennessee, so I want to know.
Sullivan County, I think is what it said.
No, they're not in Sullivan.
Sounds about right.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Yep.
Wow.
Jesus, take the wheel.
I really want to know what Carrie Underwood has to say about it. Seriously.
I'm sure there's like no comment. The final story that I have for tonight, this is indeed a Florida man story. I just tricked you with the first one. Florida man was charged with driving under the influence after mistaking a bank drive-thru for a Taco Bell. The Tampa Bay Times reported that 38-year-old Douglas John Francisco was arrested last week outside the Bank of America branch in Spring Hill. Hernando County Sheriff's Office says employees spotted Francisco passed out in the bank's drive-up lane. After the workers banged on the car for some time, Francisco finally woke up and tried to order a burrito.
It's like a number 5, please, with some Pepsi. And can I have some hot sauce and a chalupa on the side? Give me those cinnamon sticky thingy.
When the branch manager told him it wasn't a Taco Bell, he drove to the front parking lot where deputies found him in the driver's seat with the car running. He failed a sobriety test and was arrested. The next day he was released on bail for $500.
All right, guys. Russell wanted it. He said, please say you have a Florida man and we can vote which is the winner. So who won that round? Florida or Tennessee?
That's funny.
I don't know. I think
Jesus take the wheel
Jesus
is pretty good.
Driving was pretty. Yeah. The Taco Bell at the bank is pretty funny, but No, I think Tennessee won this one this time.
I have to agree.
Oh, thoughts? Guys? Anybody?
Anybody?
I hear crickets in the chat room.
So, thank you all for tuning in this week. Those of you who tuned in live, and for those of you who listened to us on the various podcast applications of your choice.
Dan agrees. Tennessee wins.
Yeah. Russell, Tennessee.
Yeah.
Yeah. It sounds like we got a consensus. Again, remember next week, Saturday, 8 p.m., we will be live back on Facebook Live here. We'll have Maddie Love on the line with us from Minnesota Atheists. She is part of the Atheist Talk radio program, rotating host. She's also has her own podcast, a Minnesota Trans Atheist. We'll be talking to her, find out more about her life and her story. Also coming up soon, we'll have Ethan Dodge, Ryan McKnight. They are the founders of Mormon Leaks, who are launching now Faith Leaks under the Truth and Transparency organization. So we'll find out all about what they are doing to expose the corruption and specifically the sexual impropriety of churches. All right. With that, we want to... What?
I'm sorry, Dan. I do realize there is a delay. It's just that nobody was talking about anything.
All right. Well, we want to thank our wonderful patrons over at patreon.com/Sarah Talk, part-time patron Russell, the Wayward Willis podcast, Josie, Harry, Jeremy, Stacy, Megan, Morgan, and AJ. If you are not a patron, head to patreon.com/Sarah Talk and join up right now. We just dropped a patron exclusive episode.
You don't want to miss it.
It was great. Becca read from the Bible. So there you go.
Which I only do once a year.
Go to saratalk.com for everything related to the show. That's where you'll find our Patreon and PayPal links. Print out a flat Jesus and play along with our flat Jesus game. Get access to our Facebook discussion group. Then tune in Saturdays at 8 p.m. Eastern live on Facebook. Follow the Sarah Talk page to get live notifications and be part of the show. Thank you for tuning in. We'll see you next week. You've been listening to Sarah Talk.
Sarah Talk is made possible by listener support. Visit patreon.com/Sarah Talk to become a patron and help keep this program going. Contact Sarah and company by email at producer@saratalk.com or call 224-40-SARAH. That's 224-407-2724. And follow us on social media, facebook.com/Sarah Talk Radio, and on Twitter @Sarah Talk Radio. Sarah Talk is a production of Sarah Austin Media.